Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 18th, 2014. And today we continue our look at the ongoing crisis in Iraq with a concentration on how this whole thing started many, many years ago. In fact, it would not be an exaggeration to say that the last century, or about 100 years, has been a lost century, and the Sunni army currently at the gates of Baghdad, whether it knows it or not, is trying to reverse the last 100 years of history. The story starts in World War I, which coincidentally will have the 100th anniversary of its beginning in August of this year, long before the U.S. entered that war. The territory now known as Syria and Iraq was part of the old Ottoman Empire, which was for the most part modern-day Turkey. Turkey was allied with Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Bulgaria in the war. Although the war was raging and undecided, and the Turkish army had not been defeated on the battlefield, Britain and France made deals between themselves for the divisions of territory that would occur after the war. Two negotiators were appointed in November of 1915, Mark Sykes from Britain, François-Georges Picot from France. Their agreement, known as the Sykes-Picot Agreement, was accepted in May of 1916 by the Allied nations. France was given control of Syria and the Lebanese coastal areas. Britain was given what was then called Mesopotamia, but is today Iraq, plus parts of coastal Palestine, or what is today Israel. The rest of the Holy Land, including Jerusalem, would be, quote, decided later. Colonies and spheres of influence were established across the Middle East by these agreements. These divisions were finalized and decided during secret treaties. Secret because, for obvious reasons, they did not want the Arab populations in those countries to know what they were doing. What had been essentially tribal lands for centuries, tribal to Sunnis and Shias, warriors on horseback with swords, were now separate countries with lines drawn on maps that were supposed to divide these people, invisible to them in the sands on which they lived. The Russians were really upset about being shortchanged in the deal. They didn't get enough territory, I suppose. And they decided to make the whole thing public by publishing it to the world, including the Arab world. The publication, along with the Balfour Declaration that happened later, ensured continued conflict, which still exists today, with the Sunni army at the gates of Baghdad. As the Ottoman Empire broke apart and collapsed, France and Britain were reaching the edge of exhaustion from years of trench warfare. The Zionists in Europe were interested in establishing a national home for the Jews. Many people believe the promised home was a promise made to certain people with connections to President Wilson that if America could be persuaded to enter the war on Britain's side, Palestine would be given to the Jews as a permanent home. In November 1917, British Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour announced that the British government would endeavor to establish a Jewish home in Palestine. Jews in other countries would be free to go there, but would not be forced to do so. Rights of the indigenous Arabs would be assured. The British did not say what, quote, national home meant. The Jews took it to mean a Jewish country with a Jewish government. Muslims living there did not want to live under a Jewish government. Hatred, warfare followed. Fighting broke out at the end of World War II, and the British abandoned the place in 1948. Naturally, the Americans were more than happy to take over the British problems, just as they took over the French problems in Indochina in 1954, now Vietnam. Well, that's all we have time for today, folks. We will continue this discussion at our next podcast, barring some crisis. Till then, this is Daryl Castle. Thanks for listening.